Blog Talk Radio.
The 2013 CONCACAF Gold Cup pregame show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the special edition of the Four Seasons Fire Internet Soccer Show, the CONCACAF Gold Cup pregame show, as the United States are going to take on Honduras in the first semifinal. The second semifinal will be Panama against Mexico. With Robert Hay Jr. and waiting for Carter Krishnire to call in, this is Daniel Feuerstein, and once again, Robert. The United States, they've basically been mowing down their opponents in this particular Gold Cup, with the exception of Costa Rica, of course, in the final group stage match. And you got to say, right now, the way that Jurgen Klinsmann has this, can we call it a B team? B-plus? A-minus?
A-minus, yeah.
A-minus? Well, that's fine with me. Jurgen Klinsmann's been doing the job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I had mentioned this in maybe a prior show, but you know, he's doing what we've asked of him so far. We asked him to give this team a little bit of an edge, and when they have teams on the run to chase them and finish off the job, they've been doing that. They're first in their qualifying group in the World Cup qualifiers. Right now, they're looking like they're challenging Mexico for the title of best team in CONCACAF. All he needs to do is finally put that final stamp on a World Cup qualifying, and I think he's checked all the boxes that we've needed for him so far. I mean, this team has an identity. They have a style of play. If you look at the starting 11, there's solid players throughout and some backups and competition for this team. So far, so good. I mean, there's always an opportunity for this to come unraveled. A couple of bad losses here or there. Just ask Mexico. Good shape.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Joining us now, of course, Carter Krishnire, the author of a brand new book coming out based on an American as a Manchester City fan. And that is, of course, Mr. True Blue himself, Carter Krishnire. And Carter, the United States, once again, in this 5-1 rout against El Salvador. And Robert, I mentioned about this before the show, after the quarterfinal match. I mean, outside of the penalty being scored by Zelaya and basically a bad start in the second half, the United States dominated El Salvador to get to this point in the semifinals of the Gold Cup.
Yeah, that's certainly true, but I think you have to look at the competition. First of all, El Salvador got a dodgy call to get to the quarterfinals. They never should have been. They should have finished last in their group. But Haiti got absolutely robbed in that game. And El Salvador is in transition now. They've called in a couple of guys now that have been American-born players of Salvadorian descent. Richie Menjivar is a player that Eric Winalda brought through Cal FC, brought him over to the Atlanta Silverbacks. He's a key guy. Steve Purdy, who we've watched in Major League Soccer previously with the USL, is another guy. I think from my vantage point, that there were a few too many chances created for El Salvador in the first 50 minutes of this game for comfort. It was a disappointing defensive performance for the first 50 minutes, as far as I was concerned. I mean, I thought Nicky Romando was fantastic, but El Salvador actually could have scored first in this game, and that is worrying because we've seen the U.S. defense opened up at times. And I think that it's no coincidence that Matt Beisler and Omar Gonzalez were called back into this team when the U.S. had the option of bringing four new guys in, because that central defense is very weak for the United States without Beisler especially. And he played in this game, but he had just gotten into camp. But Beisler and Gonzalez are the preferred pairing for good reason. They're far and away better than the other center backs right now in the U.S. pool.
Absolutely, and currently it looks like they had some, over in Dallas Cowboys Stadium, gentlemen, some pitch problems over at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Jurgen Klinsmann did not like the look of it, as Grant Wall's reporting right now on Fox Soccer. Apparently, they had to, I guess, change some of the grass that it has to that's been laid down, and he's showing terrible grass problems at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And Robert, do you think this could be an advantage for the U.S. or a disadvantage against a solid Honduran team?
Well, I think a Honduran team with a little bit of speed, maybe they'll get tripped up on the sod. I think that this is it might give a slight advantage to the U.S. in their style of play. But I hate when this kind of stuff happens because, this is CONCACAF, and we want to try and raise this confederation's profile in the eyes of the world. And we have tournaments like this, and we have to deal with stadiums who don't really seem like cares about the match, and they kind of halfway, they or whoever is responsible for the pitch kind of halfway how they put it together. And then the reports leading up to the match aren't, what should be a really good matchup today. It's all about the field. I mean, if you look at Twitter and the social media, that's what the pictures have been flying about, was how bad the field is, the clods of dirt and things like that, the small corners, spaces. So I'm just really disappointed. I think it gives the U.S. a slight advantage, but I don't think it's enough of an advantage to really be excited about this. It's just a sad situation.
Absolutely. And Kardec, of course, we've seen pictures from Grant Wall on Twitter. It looks like you're going to be in swinging too much here on these corners because of the way the stadium is built for the NFL as well as for the Dallas Cowboys. We have some serious problems here, and I don't know if it's going to be advantage Honduras or U.S., but it really doesn't look right.
Yeah, I don't care what the advantage U.S. or advantage Honduras. It's just I agree with Robert completely. We have to get past this in the sport of this country and in this region where we're playing on pitches in our Confederation Championship like this. I think both Jurgen Klinsmann and Suarez, the Honduran coach, are probably concerned. Mexico and Panama are probably concerned. They're going to have to play on that pitch after. Really embarrassing. And look, I know CONCACAF's motivation for this is that they make the most money by having big football stadiums filled, especially when Mexico or the United States play. But I really think that they have to worry about the integrity of the competition in addition to, potentially showcasing some of the venues that have been built for Major League Soccer and even NASL, which I used to work with, and USL. There are some venues you could use. You could conduct an entire tournament in those soccer-specific venues and really make it an intimate, great field tournament. I mean, it's bad enough that we're playing this tournament every 2 years. That's a bit of a cash grab. Not a bit. It's a major cash grab. And now CONCACAF is having issues with CONMEBOL wanting to come in and play the Copa America in the United States in 2016. It looks like there might be some deal made on that where CONCACAF gets six teams in four other teams in addition to Mexico and the United States. But this is just horrible for the sport. And look, I think if you're going to play in big football stadiums, you have to draw a line in the sand about turf stadiums. The pitch at the Georgia Dome, I talked to my good friend Ken Mendonca, who did media for CONCACAF up there for the game, and I actually watched the U.S. game with him the next day. Flew back from Atlanta, flew back to Fort Lauderdale, and he was telling me how bad the pitch was. Laid on top of a turf surface for the Mexico Mexico-Trinidad game and then the other game, the Panama game, Panama-Cuba, how bad the surface was and how really unplayable it was and how the players were complaining after the match about it. And the managers. If we're going to play in big football stadiums, at least play in grass stadiums. That's why I think Soldier Field is a very good venue for the final. It was a great final in 2007. We didn't have any problems with the pitch, but when you play it at facilities like Dallas, when you play in facilities like Atlanta with the turf, you're going to have these problems. They're inevitable. Seattle, we've had some difficulty. I know not necessarily for U.S. games, but there have been some international friendlies where the sod on top of the turf hasn't really laid. It's just not ideal to play in turf stadiums.
Absolutely. The starting lineups are out. We'll go with the U.S. first, gentlemen. Nick Raimondo is in goal. The back line has DeMarcus Beasley, Matt Beasler, Clarence Goodson, Michael Parkhurst, Kyle Beckerman in the midfield along with Alejandro Bedoya, Stuart Holden, Jose Francisco Torres, of strangely enough, no Joe Corona, probably come off the bench. And at the striker positions, the tandem is Landon Donovan along with Eddie Johnson. And coming off the bench, at least if available, both our goalkeepers are Sean Johnson, Bill Hamid. Defenders are Michael Orozco, Edgar Castillo, Tony Beltran, Omar Gonzalez. The midfielders are Mikel Biskerud, Breck Shea, Joe Corona. And the forwards are Alan Gordon, Will Bruin, and Chris Wondolowski. Robert, a little strange not seeing at least Corona or Wando out in the starting 11, or maybe they're just getting a break.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as surprised about the Wondolowski thing. I've been a little hard on him, and even though he has, was it 6 goals, 5 goals in this tournament, I think in the past couple of games he's been and hasn't been playing too well. The Corona thing is interesting because I do think he has been playing well in this tournament, and I think he really steps up in the last game. So I'm kind of surprised by that. I'm also kind of surprised that Mikel Biskerud isn't getting a run out here. I thought he had played pretty well in the last game, but I guess he hasn't fully gotten Jurgen Klinsmann's confidence in this. But, you know, it's interesting also to see that Omar Gonzalez is not in the starting lineup. I thought that there was some thought that he might be called up for the, you know, to get a start in this one. I'm kind of glad he isn't, just so we can try and test some of the depth on this one in this match. But overall, kind of an interesting lineup. I guess Jurgen Klinsmann's mixing and matching a little bit still to see what he's got out there. But, you know, also a very strong bench. So if he needs some goals late in the game, he definitely has some options.
And, Karik, your opinion about this starting 11?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised about Corona, honestly, when I saw the 11 come out in about a half an hour ago. Wando, I tend to agree with Robert. I was singing his praises earlier in the tournament, but he's looked off the pace the last two matches. And I think it's probably going to be difficult for Wondolowski to work his way back in qualifying. He'll have some friendlies after qualifying to try and state his case, much the same way that Hercules Gomez did and Robbie Finley after qualifying. They hadn't really featured in qualifying. I mean, Gomez had been called in for 18 matches. Robbie Finley really for nothing, and Edson Buttle absolutely nothing. And all three of those guys played their way onto the national team for the 2010 World Cup in friendlies that took place after the World Cup cycle was over, after Charlie Davies was hurt. So maybe Wando gets a shot in November. I mean, assuming we're not in the playoff, I don't think we'll be in the playoff, so we qualify in October or September, and Wando gets his chance in November and in January to impress. As far as Corona is concerned, I think it's a little bit of a difficult thing to take him out of this team, because I think so much of the positive attack that's come from this specific set of players in this tournament has run through Corona, running the channels, drifting back deep into the midfield to get service and link up. He's done a lot of interesting things in this tournament. Really, we've seen a diversification to his game that we had seen, at times in Copa Libertadores with Tijuana and in Liga MX this past year. But really showing it off on the national team level. And I'm quite frankly disappointed he's not in this team tonight. And I trust if the U.S. is in any trouble in this match, we will see him in the second half. And I know we'll get to the Honduras lineup in a minute, but Honduras is the team has been described to me by some experts in Honduran football as a C team, but they're doing pretty good for a C team, and I wouldn't sleep on them in this match necessarily.
No, absolutely not. The starting 11 for Honduras in goal is Donis Escobar. It's a 4-4-2. In defense, Osman Chavez, Brian A. Fekulis, Juan Garcia, and Neri Medina. In midfield, Jorge Claro Suarez, Eder Delgado Zaron, Alexander Lopez, and, of course, the former D.C. United man, Andy Nahar. Robert knows about him. The forward tandem is... Yes, just a little bit. Diego Reyes Sandoval, along with Roger Rojas. And head coach for the Honduras side is Luis Suarez. Everyone knows this man, of course, the former national team head coach of Ecuador, the Colombian, did a good job. And, of course, the substitutes, the goalies are Kevin Hernandez, Jose Mendoza. The defenders are Gerson Rodas, Eric Norales, Orlin Peralta, Jose Velasquez. Midfielders are Mario Berrios, Jerry Palacios, Marvin Chavez from the San Jose Earthquakes, and Wilmer Fuentes, the forwards, Mario Martinez, I believe that's the same one from the Seattle Sounders, and Ronnie Martinez Almendarez. So, you know, we got ourselves a pretty good team here, I think. Nothing to snooze at. And I agree with you, Kardik. The U.S. cannot assume this is going to be an easy match, because I'm going to agree with with the person you talked with. This Honduras team is going to be tough, and they just got to take it to them, and we'll see, hopefully, the U.S. getting out of here with the win and heading over to the finals in Chicago.
Daniel, let me mention this, just jump in and mention this about Honduras in this tournament. You have a lot of guys on Honduras that are fighting to be Honduras is fighting for their qualifying life in the hexagonal. You have a lot of guys on this Gold Cup team who think if they play well in this competition, particularly in a game against Costa Rica like they did in the last game and then against the United States tonight, may move from that B/C team right into the A team, because Honduras is not performing in the hexagonal to the level that they thought they would. While we say that it's the B team for Honduras, and it certainly is, I mean, Honduras is probably their 8 to 10 biggest names are not in this team, much like the U.S., with the exception of Landon Donovan. You know, the 8 to 10 biggest U.S. names are not in this team. The guys on the Honduran team are exceptionally hungry to try and push. There are more spots available for them to take than on the U.S. team, because the U.S. is doing so well in qualifying. So that's important to factor in when you think about tonight's game.
Absolutely. And we're going to see what's going to happen tonight. Gentlemen, I want to talk about the quarterfinal match again against El Salvador. Apparently, there's been a little controversy, even though the referee's assistant did not raise his flag. It's the third goal that the U.S. scored when Landon Donovan took his corner short. The ball was stopped by a teammate. He crossed it into the area, headed in by Eddie Johnson, who just subbed in for Chris Wondolowski. Apparently, by both posts, the Salvadorian defenders were at least 1 or 2 yards away from the post, and Landon Donovan came in into an offside position after he touched the ball on the short corner. Do you think that's a case that ball should have been considered offside and the goal waved off? Robert, what do you think?
I'm trying to replay the play in my head. I think you would have to consider that as being offside. I mean, if he was in a position to play the ball, but you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of a moot point based on the outcome. I mean, the U.S. was dominant at that point. And I think that goal would have come, maybe not specifically that way, but I think the U.S. would have scored that goal anyway at some point. So I'm not too worried about it. I mean, certainly was a momentum, you know, it kind of cemented the U.S.'s win, but I kind of feel like that goal would have come anyway. I think what it does bring up the fact is, you know, we had talked about Jurgen Klinsmann trying out a couple of different set-piece plays and things like that to take advantage of El Salvador. Maybe a good lesson here is to make sure that everybody's on side and everybody's running the play correctly. If you try anything else new or try that play again. So hopefully a lesson learned from the U.S. and a bullet dodged, although I still think it's kind of a minor bullet. So and you know, even if it was offside, still not going to take away from, you know, EJ and maybe having the defining goal of the Gold Cup so far.
Kardik, I know you're a stickler for the laws of the game, obviously, and believe me, I've been trying to find many, many camera angles on that shot, either through my DVR or on YouTube, and the play is on YouTube, obviously. I did you see anywhere that there, you know, there could be an offside? I thought maybe the defender on the near post was 2 yards away from the near post, but that far post, to me, I still can't tell if Donovan was still allowed to be onside from that guy, or was he offside? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't really know. I've watched it a couple times since this controversy came up in the post game on Sunday, and he may have been offside. There's a good chance he was offside. But I agree with Robert. I think that goal would have come anyway. And you know, to the point about officiating in CONCACAF, and Daniel, we talked about this last week, that Haiti, Martinique, there were a couple other games in the group stage. Martin for sure against Panama. I mean, that was one of the worst officiated matches I've seen in 30 years of watching this sport. And Martin got robbed in that game. The standard of officiating in CONCACAF is atrocious. I mean, the Costa Rica Honduras game, Courtney Campbell should have sent Saborillo off. He should have sent there was a Honduran player that should have been sent off, Osman Chavez. There were really some odd foul calls when there was no contact. There were cards issued in the second half when there shouldn't have been. There were yellows that should have been red. It's just been a consistent theme of this tournament, the officiating. And it's a big problem. At CONCACAF, the standard of officiating, and I know we talked about this in the last show, Brian Hall, who, of course, used to be our head of officials in Major League mm-hmm. Soccer and U.S. Soccer, he's taken over the CONCACAF program. He's had officials that he's trained. They sent a number of officials to us last year in the NASL. NASL was part of this pilot program for CONCACAF where they sent us a bunch of officials from Trinidad and Jamaica, and, you know, they're from the islands, to train them in kind of a quicker game or more physical game in the case of the NASL, quicker game maybe in MLS. And we sent some officials, some American officials, down to the islands. But I guess it's going to take time. It's just not the standard of officiating is very poor, and I think it's very poor in Major League Soccer and in the NASL and USL Pro. But it's actually better in those leagues than in the rest of the region. I have to tell you, every time I was working in the NASL and we had games in Canada. And we have games in Canada, obviously, and are going to continue to have games in Canada, that league. There would be issues because ultimately there were officials that weren't at a very high level officiating games in Canada because you have to use Canadian officials up there or the CSA. CSA wouldn't let you bring USSF officials. And I don't know. It's just very disconcerting, the whole thing with this tournament. Again, that call, like Robert said, I don't think it really affected the outcome, but there have been a number of calls and games in this tournament. I can point to at least three that have affected outcomes in other games.
And the term that keeps popping up, you've just been CONCACAF'd, right? I mean, there's no way to put it. I mean, you just have to hope that, you know, you have a good referee that has a good sense of the game, that does a great job. You know, I've been usually positive on how Courtney Campbell officiates matches, but I have to say, in recent years, I just don't feel comfortable with him officiating a match at all. And when it comes to some of these other...
He was a good official. Daniel, real quickly on him, he was a really good official in 2007, 2008. I was always relieved when he would be officiating U.S. national team games, but he's gotten progressively worse, and he had just the stinker in that Honduras-Costa Rica match. As I said, he got about 8 calls wrong in that game. I mean, Honduras, I guess, maybe deserved to win. Maybe they didn't. That game was so poorly officiated, it's tough to say. So he's really in decline, and maybe you have to have a shelf life for these officials. He's been a CONCACAF official in big tournaments for 10 years. Maybe you have to phase him out eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen in this matchup. The referee at the moment, I have not seen anything on the CONCACAF website of who will be officiating this matchup. Waiting for the match tracker on U.S. Soccer's website to pop up. Hopefully we'll find out who it is. Here we go. As I launch the match tracker, we're going to find out right now who is tonight's referees. Once again from Suriname, Enrico Wingarde will be the official, along with Marvin Torrentera from Mexico, is the first assistant. The second assistant is also from Suriname, and Ricardo Louisville. And the fourth official is David Ganter from Canada. So we hopefully will have another solid matchup here as well from the officials, and we'll see what's going to happen later tonight. Gentlemen, final question is this for both of you. Fox Soccer's coverage has been good. Obviously, I'm still not in favor of the announcers doing most of these games at the desk back in California in the studio. Obviously, it's nice to see Gus Johnson at the games whenever the games have been on Fox National, which I'm assuming will be on Fox National on Sunday at the final in Chicago. But I like what they've done with Dr. Joe Matchnick, because the National, when the Fox does the NFL games, Mike Pereira, a former head of officials for the NFL, is there for the Fox coverage to help out with calls, what the referee will do, what the referee should do. Dr. Joe Matchnick is doing the same thing for this Gold Cup, and I like this. What do you think, Robert? You first, and then Kardik.
About the whole thing, well, you know, as a DC United fan, I'm used to having guys calling games from the studio miles and miles away, so that hasn't had much of an impact on me. But, you know, I'm on record as saying I really like Gus, and I like the fact that he brings an American, or will eventually bring an American style to the game. So I think the more chances he gets to do games like these, and like the Gold Cup will get him ready for bigger things, and I think begins to develop this American voice. I agree with you on Dr. Joe. I've mentioned in the past on articles and podcasts that I think that was one of the best things that Fox ever did, was bring in Mike Pereira to answer questions. And I said, you know, ESPN should have done this a while ago, and I'm glad Fox has jumped on top of it. I mean, really, you know, we were sitting here debating, you know, the offside rule and, you know, the ability for broadcasters to bring in someone who's watching it on a TV elsewhere and can, you know, slow it down or whatever and give his own perspective or her own perspective maybe one day, I think is a real benefit to the game and really helps the fans understand the game, especially those who are not as up on the rules as maybe some of the diehards are. So I think it's a win-win. I think Fox has done a good job with the coverage. I like bringing in Heather Mitz as well to bring in that perspective, as well as Kobe Jones. I think overall it's been a good job by Fox. They've stepped up their game on this one.
Kardik?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Robert on that. I think Fox has stepped up their game. They've done such a poor job of covering this tournament in the past, really. I'll never forget the tweet. He probably needs to live it down now, considering he's in the media himself. He was still a Revolution player at the time. Taylor Twellman tweeted during the Gold Cup match in 2009 that Univision is making Fox Soccer's coverage look like an infomercial, because it was that bad. When you compare the two. I think that tweet, I favorited that tweet 4 years ago. Fox Soccer stepped up the game. I think, obviously, having Joe Matchnick in the studio has helped. I think forcing Warren Barton and Rob Stone to you know, work the summer and embrace this tournament. I mean, Rob Stone always would embrace this tournament. He just wasn't used on it. ESPN didn't have it, and he was with ESPN for years, has been good. And I really like having Gus Johnson. I talked to Dave Denholm earlier today, our mutual friend who's called a few of the games for Fox Soccer, and Dave said that Dave actually renewed with him Fox Soccer, that he's going to be calling more games out of the studio this year, Europa League and whatever other properties they signed. I guess they still have the Champions League, of course. I'm not even sure what else they have. Maybe NWSL. They obviously don't have MLS or the Premier League, or really any other big league in Europe. No Bundesliga, no La Liga. But they are transitioning into Fox Sports 1 very well with upgraded coverage. And in fact, Fox had upgraded their Premier League coverage the last few years, because it used to be horrible. It's not going to be at the level that NBC is going to have it at, clearly. They didn't invest that much money in it, but they understood that they had to make it more digestible for mainstream audiences. So they've done well with that, and hopefully this is shows a greater commitment to CONCACAF events, and we'll see this sort of coverage for the CONCACAF U-17s and U-20s, all tournaments that Fox has the rights to going, and women's CONCACAF championships also. That, you know, they have the rights to that as well.
All right, gentlemen, quickly predictions. Robert, you.
You know, I've been horribly wrong in my predictions so far. I'll go 2-0 U.S.
Kardik?
Yeah, I've got the same scoreline, 2-0 U.S. Again, I think the fact that this is a Honduran B/C side, they've punched above their weight in this tournament, but it's going to catch up with them today. But it should be a good game. It'll be a tough 2-0. It's not going to be one of these games where the U.S. scores two goals in the first 20 minutes. It's going to be they're going to have to play through Honduran midfield to get those goals.
I'll say 2-1. I think Honduras will nick one, but I think the U.S. will win it 2-1. All right, Robert, thanks for being on the pregame. Kartik, I'll talk to you on the postgame. Thanks for listening, everyone. Join us after the match. If it does go to extra time and or penalties, the start time of the postgame show will be moved back. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the match, everybody. Talk to you after the match.